This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to the stream.
How we doing?
Welcome, everyone, to the podcast. The Biz, episode 5.
Wait, okay. So it says you're muted.
Yeah, you're muted, bro.
I'm not... Wait,
does he still not realize?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah,
there you are.
Okay.
The production team backstage has a little mishap.
Yeah, production team messing up a little bit there. Way to go.
The guy's in the back, dude, you know?
So, you know, how's everyone doing? Let's repeat. So, you know, welcome everyone to the podcast. You know, I'm here with the one and only, the Chad Goff and the Rizzo Stew. It's good to see you guys.
What's up, Stewbirds?
So we are here, everyone, with The Biz, episode 5. You know, everyone listening on Apple, on Spotify and everything, you know, good to see you guys. How you guys doing? You know, everyone on the YouTubes the day after, good to see you guys. How you doing? So today we got some interesting topics, some more drama-related topics, which is kind of fun to talk about. I think we'll have a good time with these today. and the first one on The Biz is North American versus European Rocket League, NA versus EU. There's been some drama going around lately in the scene. If you have been following up on Twitter and such, you would have seen it by now. If not, we'll give you guys a little lowdown. You know, Rizzo, you want to go ahead and go through the tweets for everyone? Just to start it off?
Yeah, I can give the quick rundown real quick. We got Reynolds, who is an NA player for SSG, for anybody who does not know. He tweeted out, watching E-Rocket League and still seeing people call BDS the best team in the world, with some laughing emojis just for, you know,
crying.
Some extra kicks. Yeah, he's crying, laughing in this.
Just to give even more background info, Reynolds has been known as like a kind of toxic player. Not like toxic, but, you know, he'll banter. He's not really afraid to banter.
Yeah, he trash talks quite a bit. He stopped for a bit, but I guess he's back at it.
Turbo also said he stopped, but that's cap.
Yeah, it's cap. Then there's a tweet at Johnny Boy, like within the same thread. He says, Johnny Boy, I beg you to run a best of 7 with alternating servers. So he wants to play against BDS, SSG versus BDS, with like one match being on NA, then EU, then NA, EU, just like that. One team's going to get the advantage no matter what doing that, because it's obviously like best of 7 or whatever. It's an odd number. Yeah. But regardless, he wants to do that. And then
I think they should keep running it until one of them loses on the other person's server.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Yeah.
He said, all in all, my words won't be 100% trusted until Lance come back. NA has been better than EU by quite a margin for the last year or so. BDS, a vitality that is grinding and a peaking TB. TB is top blokes / giants would be able to compete with the average NA top 4. So he's basically saying BDS is the only relevant team right now in EU. Like, if there was a Worlds event, the BDS is the only team, unless the other teams are really grinding, really peaking on the day or whatever, BDS is the only team that can compete with the top 4.
And honestly, that is... I think everyone knows that as a very controversial statement. I think we should each kind of go through and give our own. I know Chad doesn't follow EU too much. Even I don't follow EU too much. I'm not going to lie. I don't really follow EU that much.
I don't follow EU either. I'm like, yeah, I just fall asleep every time I try to watch.
Yeah, so I think we, I think Rizzo kind of just gave his opinion. I think we each kind of go through now and just kind of talk about it, and you know, talk about what Reddle, what this means for Reddles going forward as representing North America.
I mean, well, I'm definitely the least informed about what's going on in like the Rocket League pro scene, especially when it comes to other regions. But like, the people are coming here because they want the juice. So why, like, do you guys agree with him? Like, what do you guys think, bro?
Okay. That's why we have Chad on board.
Want, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, give the juice.
You first.
Let me go first, bro. Look, so.
Of course.
One, I respect my brother Reddles. You understand me? I respect Reddles. You know, he's pretty stupid, but, you know, being stupid leads to great things, okay? But it is good to be stupid. But I'm just going to say it right away, like, you know, it's facts, you know. EU's pure resident sleeper. Like, I'm sorry, I don't really care who you are from EU. You know, you can be the, you know, Moon or Monkey Moon, whatever his name is. You can be him want. And but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you come over to NA, you have stacked teams. The top four of NA would absolutely boom EU, and that's just nothing but facts. You could have one or two teams from EU maybe contesting NA teams like BDS and Vitality. Aside from those guys, there's no shot. Like, I can't see anyone in a best of seven taking it over NRG, G2, Envy, or SG. No cap.
Now, you say, you just say that, but you also said you don't even watch EU. So do you actually know?
I watch like the finals of EU tourneys, but like it really is resident sleeper. Like, it's so boring, even the finals.
Because, like, I tried to watch, like, the first regional, I think, like, 3-4 months ago. And the only reason I didn't watch it is because I don't have, like, anybody to root for. So I think it's really boring to just watch it and having, like, no take on, like, who wins or whatever. Like, I don't care who wins. That's the reason I don't watch it. I don't think the gameplay, per se, is even more boring than NA, even though a lot of people do say that. Like, I've had people come to my chat and just be like, EU is so boring to watch. Like, NA, like, people will say, like, I'm from EU and I like watching NA more. And stuff like that.
No, I mean, why do you guys think that is, though? Because I feel like back when I was around, like, EU was the dominant force when it came to, like, top teams. There was always, maybe two NA teams that would... I feel like a lot of the top fours, even, of the RLCS would be one NA team, and then the rest was EU. And that would be, like, the dream, like, sleeper NA team no one, like, really necessarily thought. You know what I mean? Excluding, like, I By Power winning the first one, or they were Cosmic Aftershock then, right?
I think they have power.
So, like, what do you think happened? Why do you think, like, EU isn't on top anymore?
I mean, there's been a big shift recently. Like, I feel like, you know, yeah, I don't.
I can add to this. I have something.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Before I forget, there's a bunch of people in EU who say, like, they just don't scrim. They don't practice. They don't do anything, and they don't even. Mm-hmm. Some of them play ranked a lot. Usually, the people who are streaming. But a lot of them don't even play the game. And like Alpha, this is what Reddles, of course Reddles said it. I'm pretty sure there's another tweet that I don't have right now, but he says something along the lines of like, Alpha is like the best player in EU, but he has 10 hours because he just grinds FIFA for a month straight. Like, apparently he's just been playing FIFA nonstop. But yeah, those guys don't practice. They don't put in effort or whatever. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I'm sure some of them do, but for the most part, I guess a lot of them don't.
I mean, I remember during Worlds, like, we were trying to scrim, I think, Vitality, and, like, they literally did 1 hour scrims a day for Worlds. So, I mean, like, which one was this? This was the most recent one. We won with Turbo. They literally were doing 1 hour a day. Like, and that was, like, their limit. Like, they couldn't go past it. So, EU, I think EU kind of just fell behind.
Ranked or what?
Yeah, they think ranked in EU is, like, the end-all, be-all to improve. Rather than scrims. And I'm just like...
That is mind-blowing.
It's kind of weird in EU. I swear, EU will take ranked way more seriously than NA, right? But they also are so bad with scrims. Like, I swear to God, no EU teams scrim as much as NA teams. And if you just go look at the hours for all the players, it shows. It clearly shows. You look at all the top NA players, like, they're still around, like, 80 to 80-plus hours, like, consistently. And then EU, they're, like, barely peaking at, like, 50 max. And it, over the time that adds up. That's like 30, 40 hours every 2 weeks. That's going to add up over the years. You're going to get passed up.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah, that's hilarious to me that they don't even scrim during like Worlds. Just
it was straight
just
at 1 hour. Straight at 1 hour.
If we were at that Worlds, we would probably have like 4 hours locked in, like guaranteed throughout the day. Like depending on how much practice time there is, because that's always weird. There's never like you have the entire day to scrim. It's never like that.
Yeah.
Why do you guys think they're like that? Do you think it's like an ego thing, or do you think they just don't take it seriously, or what?
I don't even know.
Why do you think they wouldn't scrim? Because I mean, we're talking about some of the best players in the world on some of the biggest organizations esports like has, which means they're getting decent salary. This is their full-time thing, potentially their future. Like, do you think they're just not taking it seriously? Do you think it's like an ego thing?
I mean, I've literally heard, like, I think Alpha literally thinks that he used Garbo so he doesn't play. That's literally what I heard. Like, he doesn't even need to practice because there's like no point, right? There's no events, and they still just win online unless it's like BDS. And they're just like, whatever. Like, they're just like dealing with it. You know, we can't beat BDS, but there's no lands anyway, so it's not important. That's literally the mentality, I think, because there's no lands, they just don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for now, it's probably a mentality thing. Like, if they're just constantly getting second place, they're just like, whatever. It's like just BDS. Like, when it comes down to it, they're thinking, like, oh, they'll probably just grind. When like it actually matters or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why, like, I think most people, I don't know. You said you fall asleep when you watch EU, but like you really, if you actually watch their gameplay, I know it's not just like someone to root for. That's one thing, but I swear to God, you watch their gameplay. They're actually just genuinely slower. Like in NA, I feel like everyone's a lot more efficient. Like they'll always do the best play to play possession and to like stall time and to like make sure it's just like not a losing play. In EU, yeah, they'll literally just, they're so slow that it doesn't matter. They'll just score off of nothing. Like, that's really what it feels like. No one is, like, good at EU, except for, like, BDS.
Yeah, I heard, like, a lot of them don't even cut off, like, midfield or, like, passes or anything like that. They just kind of, like, let it happen, and they all just sit at net. And so they get, like, these, they just stack up, like, saves and stuff like that. Like, again, I don't know, because I don't really watch it. But it's so different in NA to even, like, hear that, because they're, you're always prevented from even getting the shot in the first place, at least in
NA. Yeah. 100%.
That's interesting. You almost have like two completely, like, they're playing two different games over there across the pond.
Basically, man, it's just across been so long, pond. I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's been a year since a LAN event, right?
It has been a year. Right? Well, I don't think, has it been a full year? I don't know if it's been a full year, but it's been pretty long.
Because, I mean, we've been in lockdown, COVID, whatever, for 11 months now. Like, that started in, like, January,
actually,
February,
no,
right?
You're right. You're right. I think you're right.
So it had to have been, like, last year, 2019.
I think it was around my birthday, too, so I think you're right.
I think we're going pretty hard on the EU guys. And I feel like maybe at some point with the podcast, we could bring on one of the more dominant EU players and maybe get more of an inside look as to, like, you know, what he thinks is going on over there.
True. That's a good idea.
We should bring, you know what I mean? So look forward to that. We'll probably pick somebody up, get
maybe,
him on the podcast,
hey, maybe
in the
we
next
could
couple
get
weeks.
Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny would be a person to talk about. Because I genuinely just, like, I have no faith in EU even coming close to any of the top four NA teams, like, honestly. So I want to know what Johnny thinks, because he watches it more than us.
Wait,
so
you said nobody in EU?
No, like, I said, like, I mean, just like BDS, like the top of EU versus the top four of NA, I feel like they'd probably be equal or worse.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's basically what Reddles is saying. He's just saying, like, BDS is the only team and everybody else is, like, Garbo, except Vitality is kind of, like, there.
Yeah. And even Vitality, it's like, I don't think they'll even begin unless you take it seriously. And right now, they aren't.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly don't think anybody actually thinks Vitality is bad. They're probably just slacking.
Yeah, that's what I think for sure. I think most people kind of have respect for Kadop and Fairy, and they know Alpha can be good, but it's just like they're not even putting in the time.
He needs to hop off FIFA for a bit.
Yeah, just for a little bit.
It's still soccer, dude. It's still football, you know?
Yeah, he's still getting his warm-ups in.
Now that football is back in full swing, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all your great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And 2020 has reshaped how we work. Businesses across the globe are trying to be more efficient than ever, so when every hire is critical, Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other site, helping you find quality candidates quickly. Indeed also gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, and you only pay for what you need. You can pause your account anytime, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. You can contact them the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visit Indeed each month, which is why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. And now, let's get back to the podcast.
Just to go on it a little bit more. So after all the, you know, EU drama with Reddles, Johnny Boy was called out by Reddles to host a BDS versus SSG little show match, you know, as per se, to on each server. You know, they rotate servers, and I'm excited to see Johnny host that. I don't know when he'll do it. He said soon on the tweet. And you know, I guess we'll see. But that's gonna be spicy, because I think SSG is gonna blow them out of the water, to be honest.
You think so?
Because they're so aids to play. Like
they're really aids.
Who in EU plays like SSG, honestly? Like I
don't think anybody does.
No one. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're so aids to play. Like, SSG has such a specific play style that EU literally does not deal with. And I think a BDS actually will not be able to deal with it, because it's just so annoying to play against.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna like. Well, like I feel like they'll just adapt or whatever. Like I don't think they'll be taken by surprise. I think it'll be a close series. Like, regardless, like, I don't think FSG is gonna smash or BDS is gonna smash or whatever. I think it's 4-1. Gonna be funny.
I say 4-1.
You say 4-1. Yeah, all right.
4-1. I know Chad agrees.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. My input Chad's here, like, yeah, you know, it comes from a lot of information that I totally have. Yeah.
Listen, any greater than EU, that's the main thing that we need to get out here. Okay, I'll stand by the NA Stews to let that die.
Oh, yeah. One other thing that was pretty funny is I saw people I didn't actually put this in our, like, notes or anything, but I saw people saying that, like, it doesn't even matter if BDS beats SSG, because then they have to beat NRG and then G2 and then Envy, like, because we're all the top four, and people are saying, like, oh, they wouldn't compete with the top four. They're like, yeah, no, but because since the top four transfers every week, they have to play against each one. It's like, dude, that doesn't even make any sense. Are you going to force these guys to try to play against every team just to prove themselves for nothing? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's
all
different.
Because Reddles decided to tweet some stupid shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let SSG represent us. If they lose, whatever, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I don't care either.
I really
either.
Don't. I think the only thing that, at the end of the day, a LAN will happen, and then we'll slap them around on LAN, and then that'll be a different scenario.
There you go. Hey, and I'll go to LAN, and I'll have a great time.
Yeah.
I'll show up, dude. I'll be there. You know, make an appearance.
There's a difference between me and Sis. Sis always trash talks.
I don't trash talk.
You just spit the facts.
Exactly. Rizzo trash talks, but, like, he doesn't want you guys to know. Like, behind the scenes, he's a mad trash talker. It's, like, crazy. Okay.
All right. Anyway, whatever. Going into the next topic.
There is one.
It's not even the next topic, but it's more so, like, just adding on to this. Sunless ended up tweeting. He quoted Reddles about this whole thing. He's calling out BDS, and he said, imagine if more pros actually use Twitter to say what's on their mind. This is so entertaining. So personally, I follow a lot of Rocket League people. Most of my feed is Rocket League people. I follow, like, bubble players, people who have been in the scene forever, old players who don't even play anymore, all that, like, everything. My Twitter feed is so boring.
It's newsfest.
That, like, last night, I was sitting there refreshing my Twitter feed nonstop to read some of the stuff that Reynolds is saying. Personally, I feel like I'm part of the blame. Because I don't tweet anything cool. I don't tweet anything funny or whatever. I don't even tweet most of the time.
Dude,
so I feel
you
like
just
I'm part
tweet
of the blame.
Like, you tweet like, oh, did you guys know your toes have nails? Like, that's what you'll tweet. That's your
no,
tweet.
No, I don't tweet anything.
Yes,
like, but regardless.
You tweet some dumb shit.
Team shower.
Team showers.
Showers are back in the G2 house.
Dude, that was sus, okay?
Group hug in the shower.
I gotta get Avery. Avery. Avery's in chat. Avery, this, I don't know if you saw the TL this morning. All I know is this guy Rizzo is tweeting some sus stuff about showering with your teammates. You know, both his teammates reply saying, I don't know what this guy's talking about. Rizzo's being weird. I don't know.
How is he build synergy if you don't team shower?
I'm just saying, you're being a little weird. I don't know. You're being a little weird.
All right, whatever. Anyway, besides that, what Sanlo said, if more pros speak their mind, like, do you think... Because, like, I mean, what I usually, legit, you say I'm toxic or whatever, but I do not think like Reddles. I have no thought process ever similar to
Reddles.
Okay,
but you
Reddles.
Are toxic.
No, I'm not.
Rizzo.
In League of Legends, yes,
dude. I've seen Rizzo so toxic in League, dude. There's no shot this guy isn't toxic.
I don't know if I've ever really seen him be like super toxic, but I don't play League. I haven't played that with him. You know what I mean? So,
that's
I don't
just,
know.
That's just Bance, mate.
Rizzo's
just
closet. Rizzo's closet toxic. Anyway, we'll move on. He's closet toxic.
I don't know. All right, so what are we talking about here? So, like, do you guys think more pros should like stir the pot on social media? Do you like
100%? I love
yeah,
that
do
Reynolds
you,
is
do
doing
you
it before.
Find that entertaining, right?
I mean, it's definitely entertaining, but on like the opposite side of things, do you think? Well, I personally think that it can, depending on how far they go, it can like breed this very toxic mentality among fans, and then like it's gonna be sort of miserable like for the teams, because you're gonna have people that are like, you know, say a G2 fan, for example, and you tweet some shit trying to like stir the pot, like whatever it is, you might have your fans then reacting in a similar way, not understand, like even if you're not 100% serious, even if it's like a bit of a joke or like banter or whatever, you might have some fans that really take it to heart and will be like hating like super hard on these other people and like being toxic to them, like spamming them with garbage and just like ruining their days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think it'll like contribute to that, or like do you think it's already gonna be a thing? Because if you look at like traditional sports, I mean, you have people that are die hard fans for their team and will just absolutely like decimate people on the internet if they're not fans of their team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that. I think you're 100% right. Like if the player continuously does stuff like that, it's like a Twitch chat example, like the streamer kind of influences their Twitch chat. So if a streamer
right.
is super
it's like
toxic,
a reflection of,
if
your,
you go
of
to,
yourself.
Exactly. If you go to Tyler One's chat, you're going to see some toxicity. You're going to see everybody laughing at his mistakes, stuff like that. There's really no positivity in Tyler One's chat from what I've seen most of the time. So if you have that sort of like mentality and that's what you're tweeting, that's what you're putting out, that's what you're going to get back a lot of times. And so that was also the reason why Reddles was saying like, oh, he did it. He was doing this toxic stuff like at the very beginning for attention at first. Like he legitimately said that. And then he realized later on that like all of the attention he was getting was negative every time he lost or anything. So he wanted to stop it. But I guess now that he's kind of winning stuff again, he doesn't care. But regardless, that's the point I'm trying to make, is that like, you know, whatever you put out, that's what you're going to get back from an audience.
Yeah, it puts a pretty big target on your back, that's for sure.
Exactly.
But I mean, you know, I respect that he's doing it before the game. You know what I'm saying? He's not trash talking after. I hate when people will win and then they'll just trash talk after. But him doing it before, big balls, respect it. I think it'll be a fun matchup to see, and I think him trash talking before will add a lot of hype to it. I definitely agree with the chat being toxic because of the streamer and stuff. You know, Sometimes when I'm excessively toxic on stream, my chat reflects it. You know, other days when I'm not, when I'm not as toxic, it's all good. You know, it just kind of variation. Different variations of streaming.
Did you just forget English?
Yeah. I don't know the word I was looking for. Anyway.
Different variants of toxicity.
Anyway, after the Sunless tweet, there was another tweet you wanted to look over at, which was the which involves the South American region.
Right. Speaking of toxicity.
Yeah. Speaking of even more toxicity, the South American region decided to get involved, and Card says in his tweet, "You guys don't have to leave America to get clapped at Ruddles, laughing tongue sticking out with one eye closed. Winky face." And that was after Reddles did say, "Don't get me started on Sam." So technically Reddles also initiated this one.
Yeah, but he didn't say this to Card. He said this to like a fan or something. I don't even know. He said, "Don't get me started on Sam."
Yeah, which technically targets the whole region. So Card felt the necessity to defend his region, which I respect. And so after he said that, Reddles hit him with the "your region is terrible" tweet. Just replied that one. Just four words. Your just region
simple,
is terrible.
Short and sweet, to the point.
Right to the point. Card hits him with the "suck my dick." And that was it from Card and Reddles. It ended there. And then Tander decided to hop in. If you guys know Tander, he's another... Oh, by the way, Card and Tander are both South American pros. And so Tander decided to hop in. And at Johnny Boy, you know, making fun of Reddles for wanting to get a show match with EU. Right.
Wait. Explain that a little bit further. What the at Johnny Boy means.
Wait, we told him about the Johnny Boy thing earlier, right? Yeah, so... So Johnny Boy, the reason he added Johnny Boy was because Reddles early wanted Johnny Boy to host a best of seven between them and BDS, right? So Tanner decided to add Johnny Boy, saying host one between, you know, SSG and their region. You know, they'll destroy them.
He's implying that he wants a best of seven.
Yeah, he wants the fade. So he wants the best of seven versus SSG. He wants the fade. And Reddles hit him with the one word GOAT reply, cringe. Just straight... decimating him on all fronts, and you know, just no care given to the man at all for wanting a 3v3 with his team and his, because he doesn't even acknowledge him. He just says cringe and lets it be. You know, that is some top tier BM. Okay, and I just want to know what you think about that.
I think the one word cringe is like the most disrespectful reply you could ever get. I'm not gonna lie. When somebody calls you cringe, especially in that matter or in that fashion, it's like, damn, like I lost. Like you don't know what to do. Like you can't do anything.
I mean, it was kind of a perfect cringe, because it's like, he's at the same time, not only is he calling him cringe, he's saying, "Your reply is so unworthy for me to respond to in a longer sentence that I'm going to send a one-word reply saying that you're not worth my time." That's why it's so disrespectful. Okay? Fantastic exactly. Reply. And I like to see some Sam beef. You know, I think Sam's region is very, very toxic when it comes to targeting NA and EU if they talk trash about their region. So it's just kind of, at least everything we're talking about, just toxicity, bro. This is kind of like, this is just negativity all around. So so Sam could come after Reddles with that tweet. I know their fans are known to be a little bit hostile, and we'll see what happens with that. I don't think we will be seeing a show match between them, considering Reddles' reply.
Chad, did you have anything to add to that?
I mean, I just like, this definitely like is pretty juicy in the sense of like, I want to see these guys play each other. I want to see like who could step up to the plate after all this, like this trash talk. But I gotta admit, dude, it's a little weak. Like your region is terrible. Like SMD, like I like the cringe. That's kind of like the dagger to just end it. But
the cringe was the disrespect. Yeah.
But, dude, like, if they're going to trash talk, you got to be more creative, dude. You got to make it better, you know? You got to get people, like, you know, it's got to be better than that. It's a little weak,
like,
I'm not going to lie.
Oh, he said that, but your region is terrible doesn't make you say that.
Have you seen some of the COD trash talk, Chad?
Oh, like what?
Like, COD teams have, like, genuine like hatred toward each other. Like they'll actually roast
each other on a personal level.
They go
like, they'll really get crazy.
Yeah. Like they'll target your family. They'll target everything. They'll go after you in COD. Like that is probably the most brutal, like toxic community for pros is the COD scene. Like they will go after each other for some BM. So,
oh yeah, I want to see a little more creativity coming out of the trash talk, you know, just
yeah,
a little bit more.
Rockling step it up, yeah.
But I mean, if anything, this is definitely like I honestly don't think I heard of a majority of these guys involved in this, and like now I want to see, you know, I want to see what happens. I want to see him get to it. So I think this is good for the scene.
Do you recognize
in general.
The name Reddles? Or no?
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's pretty much the only one. Like I'm not familiar with Card or Tander, but I have seen Reddles around. Yeah.
That, I mean, that's why when all the trash talk started, everybody's like, "Ah, I just wish there was a land." Like Reddles is like talking trash to all these people, but now just because he said anything, there's so many people that are probably rooting for NA, but they just want to see Reddles lose. Now it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like I was like, "Oh, I kind of want to see it." Like
someone's like, got to be the villain. There. You know what I mean? Someone's got to be the bad guy.
Yeah,
like exactly. Someone's got to take that role and ride it. So, I mean, if he's trying to do that, it's working for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's carrying a pretty big mantle with, trying to carry all the trash talk for NA. So, I mean, you know, man's going to be walking around with a target on his back at LAN. Everyone's going to be rooting against the SSG. That's for sure.
The funny thing is with, you said trash talking with NA, the only two I can think of that actually do it like publicly is Reddles and Turbo. But when Turbo does it, people like him when he does it. But when Reddles
Turbo backs
everybody
it up.
Hates.
Like he has championships to prove it.
That's true, but I don't know. I think it's just the way Turbo does it or something.
Turbo's is more clever. That's what I want to see out of this. Not just like your region's
terrible.
Your
region sucks.
Like you're just saying they're bad, okay? Like SMD, like okay, bro. Like sick. Like how the creativity, like Turbo actually like puts some thought into it and like gets a nice little roast in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Turbo's pretty good with trash talking. Turbo trash talk's always fun. But yeah, aside from all the, there was something that we don't actually have on here, Rizzo, that I wanted to actually mention was, that I saw chat mention too, was the Archie versus Scrub Killer. Scrub Killer. I don't know. I forgot the tweet because I should have grabbed it, but they were also kind of tweeting back and forth this morning. Just kind of going on each other. Yeah, let me know if you can pull it up.
Yeah, I mean, they went for a while, so it's there's a few things here.
Did they delete any of it, or no, it's all there?
Oh, no, it's all still there. I got it. It was, Scrub ended up saying, any mechanics, this is two Reddles, so the first initial Reddles tweet that we're talking about, this is what Scrub is saying, two Reddles.
Yeah.
He says, NA mechanics are better, you're right, but NA is so easy because people go for so many clips, like I can farm any player in NA in twos. And then somebody replies, who I don't even know who this is. His name is BatRL.
Okay.
And he said, can't farm anyone in tourneys, Lamau. And shows a screenshot of his Liquipedia page. Because Scrub's Liquipedia page just says, like, 5th through 8th, 9th through 12th. Like, that's all his placements. Except for one Johnny Boy show match from May. Where he has first place in an Archie versus Scrub Killer 1v1. And then Archie just says, Lamau. Archie's just laughing at his Scrub's placements. And then Scrub screenshots the one first place that he has, and that the Archie versus Scrub Killer. And then Archie says, "Do you want me to post all the times I've swept you?" And Archie
you
posts
see, like,
all
that's
the
good
times.
BM, dude. That's what chat's talking about.
Yeah, I can show chat. I'll send this to the link. And then Archie sends this, and there's just four screenshots of Archie sweeping Guild and Singularity, because of this team's Scrub is, or he was on Guild and then he swapped to Singularity. And there's just all the sweeps that Archie has. And then Reddle says, LOL, and Archie says, Scrub is so free. And then there's so much, I don't even want to go through it, but there is so much, they just kept going back and forth the whole night, and this is what I was refreshing my Twitter page to, because Archie and Scrub were going at it, and I was like, how did it go from NA versus EU, everybody yelling at Reddles,
to
Archie
EU
versus Scrub?
EU. The EU
yeah,
versus
and then it's
EU.
Archie versus Scrub, and then Breezy got involved, who's Scrub's teammate, and then Breezy versus Archie, and I was like, dude, what is happening? Like, I don't even know, this is hilarious.
Yeah, I remember the one screenshot I remember was them versus or them with Kadop and Fairy and like Scrubs on the bottom of the scoreboard was stats wise and like Archie just calling him up. Archie kind of low key won that because he was kind of fragging with the comebacks. Like he was doing what Chad was talking about with like getting in his head mentally.
Yeah. Oh, you also. I mean, listen. For me, you got to hear me out on this. You also got to respect Scrub on not mentioning his world championship win.
True.
Because he could easily pull that out and be like, okay, Archie, where's your worlds? And then I would be like, aw, conversation
that's the,
over.
That's the Turbo move, dude. I hate when Turbo does that. Turbo always does that. And it's like, what do you say? The dude has four championships. It's so stupid. It's not even fair.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to respect Scrub for not using that because that's like the dagger, obviously. You'd be like, where's your championship? You'd be like, oh, God, I don't know where my championship is. I don't have no championship.
Yeah.
Well, even so in like, gotta, even in Scrub's, even in Scrub's replies towards the end of that thread, it doesn't feel like they're trying to be mean necessarily. It feels like they're trying to get each other like riled up, but like it seems like it's all in good fun almost. You know what I mean?
That's what I thought too when I was
doing it. Like they're taking it very well and just like kind of bouncing off each other for the impressions for the tweets for the tweets, you know,
for the followers, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny is we were mentioning all this toxicity and then not or 40 minutes ago, Ronicky tweets, why do we all have to trash talk each other? Why can't we say the good things about each other?
And we're all like more.
And I'm sitting here like, I'm like, screenshot the sweeps. Screenshot it, baby.
I don't know, toxicity is just so fun. It just like adds to the meta, you know what I'm saying?
No, it definitely does. So like competition, it hypes it up for sure. Like, but like if you put out trash talk, you're gonna get it back easily. So yeah, easily, so quick too.
Especially if it's like bad trash talk. Like and bad, but not bad as in like, you know, like low quality, just bad as in like you didn't put any effort into it. How do I word it? I mean, you guys kind of know what I'm talking about. Whatever.
No, like it's literally what we were talking about earlier, like the SMID and then the your region is bad. Like that's not great trash talk.
Yeah. Honestly, you won't even get hate for that. People will just meme you.
Yeah, it's just low effort.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, I think we've kind of covered all of the E versus NA, all the recent drama in Rocket League. Do you have anything else to add on or no?
Yeah, you know, I think I had something, but I really can't remember it for now.
All right. Wait, you want? Yeah, I'm going to.
What's that about?
Yeah, there's one more thing that, you know, I just want to mention here. So for everyone in chat, if you guys have been paying attention to Johnny Boy's stream, you will know that Smug has been going on. Nice little salt mine tournament. There's been some cool show matches. You guys have seen Sunless versus, you know, Musty, a bunch of other ones. You guys have seen Fairy and Jorias, I think. I forgot who, but there's been some pretty good matchups.
I don't think you got any of those right, by the way.
No, Sunless and Musty did a matchup.
No, they didn't. It was Sunless and Athena.
Oh, really? All
right. Yeah.
Listen, don't worry about it. Anyway, aside from that, that matchup that should happen, Sunless versus Musty, Rizzo and I are going to be doing a little Smug matchup. So if you guys want to see that that little matchup, make sure to follow along with Smug. Johnny Boy will be hosting it soon, and I will be slapping Rizzo live for a free $1,000.
I guess we'll see on Smug, dude. I guess we'll see on Smug, dude,
huh?
You what do you have 4 hours past 2 weeks?
Fuck, dude. Okay, listen. Stop calling out my hours.
That trash talk's kind of weak, bro. Like, come for his family or something. Make it hurt. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is weak. But yeah, just wanted to get that out there. And now that's out there, we can move on to our next topic of the night, which is esports contracts. Okay? This is something that has been around forever. You know, people have made sure to tweet about it. It's telling everyone to watch out for what you sign. Always read what you sign. It is true in every way, shape, and form. Make sure to always read what you sign, no matter whether it's, you know, some affiliate contract, some esports team contract, org, something like that. Make sure to always read through it. And the reason we are bringing this up is if anyone follows along with the Call of Duty scene, you may have seen Scump's tweets recently about his contract. Basically, I'll get it right here. It says, "I haven't spoken of this publicly, really, but I was fined for playing Raid Shadow Legends during a sponsored stream. It was during the off season as well, which makes it worse. My channels are my channels, and I should be able to do what I please, but apparently I can't. The Call of Duty League also made us sign a player contract in front of them without allowing us to run it by our lawyers at the player summit. It was a sign it now or you can't play at Minnesota type exchange. I'm probably going to get fined for this too, just letting y'all know." And, you know, that's pretty insane, especially him coming out with that. That's probably been going on. How long was the, I don't know when the last Minnesota LAN was for them, but it was, I remember it was probably like 4 months ago, so... that is something that has been under wraps for a while. It's pretty insane that they forced them to do that, especially considering all we know about contracts and all I've heard about contracts from me and Rizzo. I don't know if Chad is signed to it, but me and Rizzo are signed to Evolved Agency. And, you know, they always tell us never sign a contract without letting them read it first, you know, giving it to them, making sure they go through it. And, you know, having a Call of Duty League, something run, is that run through Treyarch? I believe it is. I think it's just run through Treyarch, and it's literally that unprofessional. It's just crazy to me.
I wish I knew where, or what it's actually ran from. Oh, no, it's produced by its publisher, Activision.
Okay, so yeah, it's Activision.
It's Activision Blizzard. It's Activision Blizzard.
Got it.
Who isn't necessarily known for being the best company. Like, their higher ups are pretty shady. I think like one of their higher ups is like super shady, donates to like weird causes, like just overall like not a very well represented company.
Yeah, I haven't heard much. Do you know anything specific about them or no? Like anything?
Not
else,
too much
maybe?
Detail. But I also don't think this whole contract thing is even necessarily legal. Like, if these players want to get out of these contracts, I'm pretty sure they could.
Because, like, they just made them sign it. They said, no, like, sign it now or you can't play. Like, is that why you're saying that?
Yeah, you can't, like, force somebody to sign a contract. Like, yeah. And say, you know. But, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. You know, I didn't study law. I didn't go to school. I didn't go to school for this stuff. But I'm pretty sure they could be getting out of these contracts. And, honestly, the fact that Scump wanted to make it so public and let people know, I think, is really, really important. I think there needs to be more transparency in like the contracts, especially in esports, especially in this industry, because of all the shadiness that happens. Like, a lot of these guys are young when they get into this stuff. Like, a lot of esports players are young and they don't know any better. They're sort of put into a situation where they're forced to sign agreements and sign contracts and do things that they're not well educated enough to like make that decision themselves, you know, especially in a moment like this, like, hey, sign this now or you're not playing in the tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awful.
It's horrible. And I think it's like working that way. I mentioned to you guys before the podcast started, in Counter-Strike, C9's roster, they announced their new roster and they announced all the salaries. Everybody knows what they're getting paid. Everyone knows what they're getting, you know. I think that sort of transparency is something you see in traditional sports. You can find out what people make. There's more information on contracts available. And I think that's the direction esports is heading, and I think it should be.
Good
because
direction, yeah.
I mean, these leagues, these orgs, these companies that want to work with influencers or players, they're a lot of the time taking advantage of the fact that these people are young and they don't know any better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally just like you said, I just searched up the C9 player contract and I get like this guy's exact contract length and the deal value and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's real. I mean, it's out there. All you got to do is just look for it.
Yeah.
Just drop something.
I mean, in the NBA, a lot of player contracts are always made public immediately. You know, like whether there's a.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whether there's a transfer clause, you know, if they have an option, you know, the length, you know, the exact amount, how much they're getting paid per year, everything. So, you know, having esports contracts go a little bit more public, especially big name contracts and the bigger orgs and bigger games like League of Legends, CSGO, etc., stuff like that, we'll probably be seeing a lot more in the future. I think most league salaries will eventually go public too. I don't think they are right now, but I think they will.
I think some are. But one thing I asked specifically from G2 when we re-signed was that they announced that like we signed a long-term contract. Nobody in Rocket League has ever said their salary or anything like that. But I wanted it to be like a known thing that we signed a long-term thing. And I just thought it was like a cool thing for people to know personally. But I never thought of the side of like for other players knowing what other players are doing, I guess. What other players are doing or getting, how much that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I imagine sports do it a lot is because it helps agents kind of gauge how much their clients are worth, like their value for each team.
It probably wastes less time.
Yeah, so they can kind of scale the average. They can kind of, you know, guess depending on your position and what you do and everything, how much your value is worth. So having agents, you know, having everyone know salaries probably makes the whole process for everyone a lot easier. And
yeah, I mean, that transparency is better for the players, 100%.
Yeah, big time. And Rizzo, I know you know a little something about Chicago's old Oregon stuff. If you want to talk about that really quick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is kind of getting into like more so Rocket League specific player contracts and just player contracts in general. Is if you're going to sign. And this is like for more so up and coming players or any player. It doesn't even have to be Rocket League related. Like if you're approached by an org, just be careful if they promise you a high salary and their Twitter followers is like 34 or something like that. just make sure you do your research, see who's backing them,
big
see
time.
What's happening.
Big time.
Because there's so many situations where this happens where there's an org that says, hey, we'll pay you this amount. And you're just like, oh my God, that looks great. What? Yeah, let's do it. And then you sign the contract and then surprise, you never get paid. And you're just like, wow, I should have seen that one coming. And then you waste 4 months of being signed to this org. Where, yeah, we'll get you your payment. We'll get you your payment. It's just the payments are delayed. The sponsor money hasn't come in. They got so many excuses. They have a full handbook of them. And it's just like, seriously, yeah. They really did. They say the denial was an org in the past who did this. I don't think it happened in Rocket League specifically, but denial was an issue for COD, I'm pretty sure. Where they would say, yeah, like, you know, the sponsor money's coming in, you'll get paid soon. Then they wait another month and yeah, it's coming. Just wait, we'll pay you double, you know, because we waited 2 months and then you wait and then you're signed to this team, you're representing them. But you still never get the money and you just waste your own time instead. So if you get a deal that's too good to be true, it might be too good to be true.
For real.
Read your contracts, man. Talk to a lawyer friend, your mom or dad, whoever. Just please read your contracts.
Always. I mean, sometimes even reading them aren't enough because like I said,
if you sign an agreement and like you go through all that and it's a decent salary, I mean, you can potentially then follow up with legal action if this isn't like not paying, if they're not holding up their end of the agreement.
I mean, yeah.
Just as if you violate that contract, they have the right to pursue you legally or drop you, void the contract, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what happens when the org legit has no money? You can't. I don't think you can get your money at that point.
I mean, someone's got to be at fault, bro. So. Gotta be able to come for somebody. Unless the whole org just goes under, they file like bankruptcy or something. Like,
well, that's what happens, I'm pretty sure.
With denial?
No, denial like rebranded. I don't know.
I think Orbit did that. You remember Orbit? I'm pretty sure they filed bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Orbit did something like that. But yeah, that happens. Like they'll say, oh yeah, I could take this to court, but like if the org legitimately has no money, they can't pay anybody. They can't even pay the court fees.
Yeah, this is kind of a funny story. This is like early Rocket League, so no one was really getting paid that much. But Garrett, the team at the time in season 2 was Garrett, Moses, and Turtle. And they were signed to Orbit. And literally after they lost at season 2 land, they were getting $1,500 salary. After they lost at season 2 land, the two CEOs or like COOs of Orbit came up to them. And I'm sitting there, I'm like their sub, I'm sitting there just listening, and their first thing they say to them is like, hey, we're going to have to reduce your salary.
That's the first thing after they lost?
After they lost, nothing else was said except was, hey, I think we're going to have to reduce your salary. And I just remember imagine looking at Moses' face when they say that. Like, I was like about to, like, I was trying so hard not to laugh because it was just such an awkward scenario, but... That was the first thing. Yeah. That was the first thing it said tonight. And 1500 was a lot back then. Season two.
Oh, yeah. That
was
a lot. Fat.
And yeah, that was a contract where they signed and they got paid. So they kind of scammed the org. But I mean, you know, you got back in the old days, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, I was signed with A Money and Matt to Selfless for $600 a month in season one. And that was like goat shit. Like that was
the highest salary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were the highest salary in like the world. $600.
And then IBP came through. Yeah. We got beat a little bit.
They got like 1500 to 1200 or something. So, you know, everyone, the salary started to slowly go up. In Rocket League, I remember like I think NRG season 3 or 4 like bumped their salaries up a lot because when they first signed, like everyone started getting paid a lot more. Rocket League
when that happened, that's when we renegotiated. Yeah. I couldn't even talk. NRG got a bump and we're like, whoa.
We're like, whoa,
what up?
Like, yo, we got the brand, we got the numbers. Come on. End of the day, the whole thing I want to get back to is don't sign a contract without reading it. And if you do read it and yeah, you lucked out, you know, congratulations on the $1,500 a month for getting last place season two worlds. But you
oddly
know,
specific.
Aside from that, you know, we want to talk about, I think, smaller streamers too, right? Small, not just esports contracts, just like streamer contracts.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I wanted to bring this up too. I just put it, I highlighted it because I think it's like a topic in general of a player contract. A player contract specifically. And I just said, don't take a player contract without getting paid. I think for Rocket League, that makes complete sense. But Chad brought up other situations where that might not make as much sense with like sponsors and potentially like, depending on how big the org is or who the org is. So I was saying, don't take a player contract without getting paid, but Chad had something else.
Well, it's really, really hard for me to argue like that you should take a contract that doesn't give you some sort of salary. That's a really hard thing for me to argue. Mm-hmm. Potentially, if you're, you know, someone that's not huge in an esport, that's not massive, signing and representing an org and not getting paid a salary just to take on sponsors, just for the opportunity to grow, it can be helpful for some people. I don't want to say you shouldn't do it necessarily, but it's really hard for me to argue that. If they're not going to pay you, why are you going to represent their organization? Why are you going to take your ability? Say, like, this would only be like if you are really good at whatever you're doing, right? If you're in the top percentage of players or that compete. It's hard for me to say that, but I mean, like, you gotta get something, right? Like, you have to get paid. So why would you want to represent them just because they're gonna send you a mouse and keyboard and some free gear, whatever it is?
What if they
send
you a dope gaming chair though?
Oh my god,
that's tough. I don't think you should take a contract, a player contract specifically, without getting paid. I don't think it's worth it. Like, remember in season two when you were talking to orgs, or season one, whatever.
Yeah.
And you said every single org that approached you, oh, how much are you paying? As soon as they said no or nothing, you just left. You were like, nope, nothing.
That's not worth it. Why are you going to represent this organization that realistically you probably don't even know very well? You might not follow them extensively. You don't know what their values are. You don't know how they carry themselves. Why are you going to represent them if they're not even going, like, willing to pay you, even if it's like peanuts, even if it's just a little bit? Like, how are they not even going to offer? Because at the end of the day, guess what? You are still representing this organization. If you stream, if you make content, they are selling your viewed hours. They have a contract with Twitch. Like, they are getting paid for what you are doing, and you're not seeing any of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the play, but I can't speak to everyone's situation. I don't know like what position everyone's in. It could be really good. It could be really, really great to sign to C9 or TSM for somebody just for the potential of growth and just for the opportunity to like get somewhere. Because I do think that these organizations can provide benefits that aren't just straight monetary. But it's not something you see consistently. You know, like, these orgs sign a ton of players, a ton of streamers that don't blow up, that don't go anywhere. While you do have the ones that do end up like gaining traction and growing, whether it's in their pro career or their stream or whatever it is, you do have those cases. But I mean, more often than not, I feel like the orgs aren't doing much for you.
Yeah, especially another thing to keep in mind is if you're locking yourself into like a 1 year, even like a 1 year, like 6 month, I could consider and be like, okay, like that's not horrible. But even like a 1 year contract, it doesn't seem like that long of an amount of time.
No, but it is a lot.
It is a long time.
If you're locking yourself in and like after 3 months you hate it, you're just like, oh my God, I have like 9 months left of this. And then like, it just straight up demotivates you.
Yeah.
And that's something that's smaller. I don't even know if I put this in the next topic. I did, but I had like a YouTube contract with like an MCN, and an MCN is like a multi-channel network. It's basically how they just group a bunch of channels together. It's how they sell ad space. It's basically a way to get partnered, the old way to get partnered on YouTube to make money. So I had this MCN I was with, who I was representing, or they were representing me, whatever. I was with them and I signed like a 3 or 4 year contract, and I was like a 16-year-old Minecraft YouTuber, 15-year-old, whatever. And they were taking 40% of my revenue.
Oh.
So it was 60-40, and that's a scam. Like, I don't even know why I signed it. I think because I wasn't able to get paid beforehand. So I signed it just to make money, but there came a point where I signed this 3 year contract and I could make money a different way with a different MCN or something like that, but I was locked in for 3 years. And the only way I ended up getting out is because YouTube changed their terms of service, and I didn't accept the terms of service until the MCN dropped me, because the MCN couldn't unless I accepted it. And so I waited.
You got a giga brain, bro.
And then I dropped them, and then I accepted it, and then I was back, baby. But wow, still, I was locked into this really shit situation just because I signed this stupid contract. And like, I was sitting there and like, you don't think it's a long amount. 3 years, I'll be 18 then. Oh, it doesn't matter. But like,
you know they're doing that with TikTok now.
What, contracts?
Yeah. So, like, you know, Josh, I have a real life friend, for everyone that doesn't know, his name is Josh. And he made a TikTok, and it blew up. It got like, you know, like a million views or something. And it's literally just like his dog, like wearing like a diaper or something. And like, he's like talking with it. And like, he got contacted DMs from so many different like channel networks asking to use his footage and to like, you know, like they'll give him a percentage of the ads, as long as they let him use his footage, and like they'll control all the money on it, and like they'll let him get a percentage, blah blah blah. And it's like, there's people looking around on TikTok at all times trying to find videos that are gonna blow up, and just messaging them trying to get them to sign and get money from them. Like, immediately.
That sounds like a scam, because it's so new. It just sounds like it's awful.
Yeah,
it sounds like a horrible idea.
And no, but the thing is, it's usually good for them to. For the person, like, maybe it's good for the person, the TikToker, to actually take the deal if they're not going to go, like, full-time with TikTok, right? But if you, let's say you blow up on TikTok and you're taking that deal, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because then you just, none of your money is going to be made anymore. But if you're just, like, you know, messing around, doing a one-time upload every once in a while, then it's fine. But I think they're, like, just constantly searching for up-and-coming TikTokers and, like, trying to, like, get people to sign something that way in the chance they blow up.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Anywhere there's views or eyes, people are going to try to make money on it. Businesses are going to try to make money on it.
Yeah.
I think in general, if you can get, I mean, in this industry, I think a contract that exceeds a year is like absurd, unless they're really paying you like a 400K salary, like some of these CS players or league players. Taking a contract that's longer than a year is like a hard sell. And if an org is pressuring you, or a company is pressuring you into something like that, I feel like that should be a red flag alone. Especially in our industry, you see very commonly 6 month contracts. That's a big thing, because these companies and these orgs like don't necessarily know how it's going to go with you either. Right. There's a little bit of like distrust, like you haven't built your relationship yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Uncertain.
Yeah. I think
anything over a year, even a year, is like pressing it. If you can get them to do like 6 months,
six
if you're
going
to be
solid.
Signing a contract, that is, yeah, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I think that's, and like, if the org or whatever it is weird about that, that should be kind of a warning sign too. You know what I mean?
I thought it was pretty cool that, like, one thing that happened with me with Rogue is I actually re-signed with them for only 3 months. Like, they let me do a 3 month contract.
Really?
For the season, yeah, which I thought was a pretty cool thing they let me do, because usually contracts, they force you to lock in long term, that way they can get value out of you later when they want to sell you to some like some other org or something.
Well, it's also because they use, so if they, okay, so like you were saying, a 6 month contract, like 6 month contract sounds like a dream, right?
Yeah.
But if you're starting out, but for me personally, I mean, your boy signed a 2.5 year contract. You know what I'm saying? So like, careful what you say there, Chad. Careful what you say in there.
But, I mean, to be fair, like, you were already pretty established. You're working with a well-known established organization. And it's not like you're just some new guy out of nowhere, like, oh yeah, contract not even gonna read, signed 2.5 years, like whatever it is. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. I get that.
And there is a sense of security for you as well, as a player, as a creator, you know, whatever it is. There's a sense of security. And as long as you like thoroughly vet who you're gonna be working with, like who you're gonna be working for, however you wanna phrase it, and the entire agreement that you are signing. I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. You can ensure yourself a decent amount of security. And I think a huge thing is you'll see sometimes, or you can try to negotiate for a 30-day clause, where if any of the parties would like to part ways, you give a 30-day notice and then it's allowed. I've signed contracts like that. And I think that's huge. I was managed for a couple of years by just a management company. They had a few other creators, a handful of us, and it was really helpful in a lot of ways. And that was the biggest thing for me, because it was a 2-year agreement. It was a pretty long contract. I wasn't sure how things were going to go, but I read through it. I talked to people. I checked it all out. And I thought it was beneficial in the long run. I thought it was beneficial to me. But I made sure to really vet it and really understand what I was signing and what I was agreeing to and trying to get my value from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one way the orgs will, like, the reason why a lot of the more established orgs will take or want you to sign longer term contracts as well is because they'll take, like, say, like 2 years, for example. They'll sign a player for 2 years and they'll say something like to a sponsor. They'll be like, hey, we have this guy for 2 years. Would you like to sign a 1-year deal? So they can't say like, oh, we have him. Well, I mean, they could say like, oh, we have him for 2 years, but that's never guaranteed or whatever.
Yeah.
But they could approach sponsors that way. And that's how they make their money and get their value out of that. Or out of you, I guess.
You know what's funny is I remember like you saying that is that reminds me. I remember when I was leaving Rogue to join NRG. Like I didn't get signed right away after I left Rogue chat. I like basically just sat under Rogue, kept representing them for like 6 months, no contract. And like finally when NRG offered me, they started offering me as well. And the reason they offered me to mainly was because apparently they were like doing some behind the scenes deal with some phone company. I don't know which one. And I literally found out I was with Chad. I was with Chad at TwitchCon San Diego.
At TwitchCon, right?
And and the owner of Rogue. Well, and this was after I had already talked with NRG. The owner of Rogue was just sitting at the table right next to us, and he's like, Sis, is that you? And he comes over and starts telling me all the new deal stuff. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, bro, I just talked with your competitor, NRG, bro. I'm piecing it in like a day. Like, you don't know yet, but like, I appreciate you telling me all this. He's like, yeah, you're part of the deal we got for the new company that we're signing with. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, it got really awkward. And then I just walked away eventually and I hung out with like Chad and the boys and pretend like that never happened. But, you know, it was funny.
See, I mean, that's why they put you in a longer contract, I guess.
Yeah. So
wait, that's literally okay. That's a perfect example to what I was saying.
Yeah. They wanted to sign me on longer. That way, I was literally like including the deal, like, oh, this person will represent you in these events, and like it was like listed out events I would do for Rogue and stuff. I'm just like, I'm leaving Rogue.
You're like, oh, this is kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
That's so weird. I would hate to be in that situation.
It was really funny though. I remember
that night so vividly, dude. That was so funny.
That was in
like
night.
What was that? The Hard Rock, like the bar at the Hard Rock.
Yeah. It was one of the bars. It was me, you, Avery, like Phil.
Yeah. Oh man,
that was fun.
Oh.
Well, I think we've kind of covered most of the contract stuff. You want to go over anything for the smaller streamer contracts, Riz, or are you kind of
done with that? Okay, I'll just throw this up as a topic, I guess. Or these could probably all go up as topics. What about, like, what do you guys think of affiliate links? You're not getting paid. A stream or a sponsor approaches you and they're like, yo, put this under your stream. If somebody clicks it and buys something, you get 5%. What do you think of that?
No
Shoddy says, sis.
Player contract's a little different, but like, bro, if you're a streamer and you get approached by an org, you're not a professional, you're not like, you know, you're an entertainer, you're a content creator, you're a streamer. Do not represent a brand that makes like a product. Do not sign with an org unless they are paying you, because these, like, they are making money from you. It's like a pyramid scheme. Not with esports orgs, right? Yeah. With esports orgs, typically they have a contract with streaming platforms where they're selling your watch time, your watched hours. They're selling this as like part of their organization and getting paid from the streaming platform, and they're selling ads. And they're making revenue this way. If you're not getting paid, do not sign that. And when it comes, dude, when it comes to companies that are selling a product, whatever company it is, this energy drink, this sun, like beef blue jerky, light glasses,
that's a beef jerky.
Beef jerky.
That's a common one.
Dude, if you are not getting paid a salary to promote them, do not push an affiliate link, bro. You're literally entering a pyramid scheme.
It really is.
You are going door to door, essentially, pushing a product on people and getting some tiny little percentage of it, dude. You don't work for this company. They're not paying you. Please do not do that. Please
I would probably agree with everything Chad said. Yeah. I would probably
agree with
everything.
It's a pyramid scheme, dude. Modern day pyramid scheme.
It is. That it really is. The only thing I could even see is if like the company asking is like relevant, and somehow you having it under your stream brings in more viewers to you somehow it increases your exposure, then I would maybe consider it. If it doesn't increase exposure at all, then no point in doing it. And you don't sign anything unless you're getting paid.
Dude, who's a fan of like this like beef jerky that they're like, oh dude, this creator is sponsored by my favorite jerky, I'm definitely gonna watch them and support them now. Like,
that doesn't exist, man. Come on, it doesn't.
Yeah, that
creators, please value yourselves, get paid.
Don't sell yourself, I forgot the phrase, but
don't sell yourself short.
No, not that. That well, that's basically summarizing it, but it was something to do with like gold and silver. I forgot the phrase, but yeah. Basically, don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, make sure you get paid in gold and silver only.
That's the saying.
That's where the real money is.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think of being a part of stream teams with no contracts? So, say you're a streamer. 5-10 viewers, stream team approaches you, 1,000 followers on Twitter. They're like, yo, would you want to represent these? Maybe I shouldn't. These nuts, whatever I'll say. These nuts. We were told to keep it clean, but whatever. Would you like to represent Fromunda Org? Fromunda Esports?
And you don't sign
anything, right? You don't sign. So would you like to represent Fromunda Esports? All you got to do is be in our stream team. We'll tweet you out a little bit. You know, maybe you share our creators and stuff like that. What do you think about that?
No sign, I would do it if I'm a small creator. No sign, I would do it. If you want to learn to grow, if you want to figure out how to grow some new ways, at least try something new.
They could definitely present good opportunities. Fromunda. It could definitely present like you some opportunities. I would say if you're going to go that route, recognize who this like stream team has as far as creators, as far as people within that community, and make sure your values align with them. Make sure, like, if you're going to be representing this little group, make sure the other people that are also representing this group and then indirectly you kind of align with your beliefs, or you know, at least carry themselves to a certain degree that's not going to be like, you know, and as long as you're not signing anything, you know, it's just like joining a little community, like finding your own little community of like-minded or people doing the same things you that are just trying to, you know, get their grind on, you know?
It's like joining a CS 1.6 group.
Yeah, like join a clan, you know, like a little group of homies, a team. A certain pub on every day, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah, no contract, might as well.
Sounds oddly specific, but...
Fromunda Clan. Fromunda Clan.
Fromunda Clan. Fromunda Esports.
But if anyone comes up to you trying to represent D's nuts, I'm going to say they're probably messing with you.
100%. 100%.
You might be onto something there.
Now I'm never gonna trust anything called Dragon Esports. You know, you never know. Or you might be signed for a year, then all of a sudden they hit you with the JK, we're Dragon D's nuts, and then like you just be wasting a year under a fake org. You know, it's horrible. You never want that to happen. You never want to be known as that guy that got hit with the dragon bait.
DN Esports.
DN Esports.
Oh my god. Suck on D's United. Oh man.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
All right, well.
Honestly, that was the final topic that I had.
I think that's a good way to end it, bro.
The final note I had for small streamers, small creators, like saying small players is a weird thing, but lower tier, I guess, I don't know, is get that money, King. For
get
me
that
personally,
money.
I don't think I've ever signed anything that didn't pay me. So
yeah. Facts.
There you go. Take it from your boy.
Shout out prediction. So so thank you everyone for watching.
Wait, I just realized.
You just see what I said? I was like, where's the reaction? But yeah, this to summarize the last topic, get the bread. You know, get that bread. Make sure you're not debating yourself. Don't sign anything you don't read. You know, to summarize the first topic.
Just be careful, dude. Just be careful.
Yeah,
just
be
because
careful.
There is a big name behind something, and I can speak from experience as a streamer, just because a big name org is hitting you up does not mean they aren't trying to take advantage of you, because
facts.
More often than not, in this industry with a lot of young people, and these big orgs do try to take advantage of people. That's how it is. That's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm. Chad knows, guys. Trust Chad.
No matter what. I don't care what org it is. You're like, oh, I love this org. Like, I'm a big fan of their CS team, their Rocket League team. Just be careful. Do your research. Read everything. You know, give it to a lawyer if you have that access.
Even the big orgs.
Because even the big orgs will try to take advantage of you. It's how they make money.
Yep.
Be careful, everybody.
Yep.
Make sure they don't own you or your content until the end of time through outer space to a different dimension.
Make sure they do not own all your stuff. Make sure it is an agreement, not you giving away your entire brand.
Facts. You should be able to do a Raid Shadow Legends stream whenever you want. You understand me? That's how it should work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
facts.
That's pretty much it. You know, signing off on the biz. We appreciate everyone coming by. We hope you guys learned something or two from this. You know, something that you take into account if you ever go into esports, ever go into signing a contract. What's that? Anything you want to add?
For the viewers on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts, we stream these live. I guess it's 9:30 at this point. We stream these live on Monday at 9:30 EST.
Yeah.
So if you want to join us live, it's twitch.tv/Sizz, S-I-Z-Z. Be there.
Or be square.
Be
there or miss the biz.
And hey, exactly. Give us 5 stars, you know? You listen on Apple, give us 5 stars. Leave a comment. You like it? You don't like it? I mean, give us some feedback. You know,
leave some feedback at least, bro. Come on. At least.
You know, let us know where we can improve, help you guys out, help you, help us, help you, you know.
And I think that's
it. And that's the biz.
The biz. And I think to end it, you guys can look at Chad for the remainder of the stream and look at and admire his jawline. And shout out Isaac App for being our fake music sponsor. We need to, you know, do something more official. And, you know, we'll see you guys next time. You know what I'm saying? That's the biz.
That's
all right.
This,
baby. Peace. It's the
biz. At Zenni, you get the same quality frame and lens options that you'd get from an optician for 1/10 of the price, including blue blockers, progressives, prescription sunglasses, and more. The best part? Try on any frame, anywhere with our 3D virtual try-on. Zenni.com. Eyewear for everyone.